This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us this morning, Sports Map Radio. I am back from taking my kid to the University of Florida. A lot went on when I was gone. It was hard to keep up with the sports world. I did my best. Taking a kid to college, there's a lot of work. There's like we filled out things and had to get him into the dorm and meet people and all that good stuff. But I got the gist of what was going down, especially with the NBA and its boycott of the playoffs. All right, we'll get to all of that coming up. We also get the college football game on Saturday night between Austin Peay and Central Arkansas, the one that everybody wanted to enjoy to showcase what college football could do in the pandemic. We've got that. I got some golf because John Rahm made an insane putt. It was a pretty good tournament for the PGA Tour, but we'll get to the NBA playoffs as well. So I took my kid to the University of Florida, and I checked him in, and he's all good. And here's the thing. If you've listened to this show, you know that I went to the University of South Carolina. My wife is a Florida Gator. I did not, for the life of me, ever think that my son would choose the University of Florida to go to college. It felt like, as a kid growing up, as he was growing up, if it was like those old-time shows where, like, the young man says, "Sir, I'm going to marry your daughter, Mabel." And the guy says, "I'll give you $25,000 to stay away from her forever." And, you know, like that kind of, I would have given him any amount of money that he wanted to be like, "Don't go to the University of Florida." I've already got one in my life that roots every single year. I don't need two of you going against me every college football season. But when we got there, it was, you know, it's a great campus. It's a great school. And it was, it really brought back a lot of memories for me from when I was in school. It was neat to see that, you know, everyone was wearing masks and whatnot, but you felt sort of the energy. And the reason I bring this up is to talk about college football, because it's one thing we were talking about with the way the SEC and other conferences that have sort of said, look, we're going to chill for a little bit. We're going to wait till the kids get on campus. We know there's going to be an increase in cases and then we'll play. I saw that firsthand. College students immediately, as we were checking them in, are immediate college students. Yes, they're wearing masks, but they want to do college kid things. So you're going to see spikes in a lot of these schools. But don't panic. When it goes down, that's when football starts. But it did start Saturday, and we'll talk about that coming up next as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
At the Sports Map Radio Network, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code SportsMapRadio for 20% off. You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Sports Map Radio. On Twitter, you can find us at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. So I think the most watched Austin Peay football game or Central Arkansas football game, depending on how you view it, was Saturday night. Depending on which side, maybe both, I don't care, was Saturday night between the Governors and the Bears of the Southland Conference. Austin Peay plays in the Ohio Valley Conference. In the history of their program. And here was the funny thing about it. The game was not played in Clarksville, Tennessee, or Conway, Arkansas. It was played in Montgomery, Alabama. Now, there was, 2,000 people there, they said. They were, you know, obviously limiting tickets and limiting attendance. You know, you wonder in a non-COVID world how many Austin Peay people would have driven down to Montgomery, how many Central Arkansas people would have driven down to Montgomery. Probably a lot to kick off the season. They're proud of their schools and whatnot. But television-wise, holy cow. It felt like everybody I knew on Twitter was watching this football game Saturday night. I could not believe how many people were commenting on Jeremiah Otsval, the governor's quarterback, on throws he was making or plays he was making, or Braylon Smith, the quarterback at Central Arkansas. Here are two teams many of you don't care about at all, but because it was the first college football game of the year in a COVID world where we're not sure if we're getting any college football, I think people just couldn't wait to see this thing
on Saturday. I'll take it a step further. I would like to poll people and say, hey, where is Austin Peay?
Yeah, right. Right.
I mean, Central Arkansas kind of gives it away.
Central Arkansas does kind of give it away. You're
kinda,
right.
You can kind of figure out where they are. Austin Peay, I even up to last week, I think it might have been Eitan saying, like, yeah, you know, that school's up near you, right? I'm like, no.
What, Austin Peay?
Yeah.
He should know where Austin Peay is.
Well, maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was somebody else.
Okay, because he lived in Nashville.
I just want to throw Eitan under the
bus. It's in Clarksville. It's about an hour, maybe a little less than that, up in Nashville.
I mean, I don't think anyone knows this from Tennessee.
Yeah. Here was the funny thing about it. So I got home Saturday. We got home Friday night. So Saturday, my in-laws were still, you know, in town, and we were all watching the game. I mean, all of us were watching this game. And it was... So we're nobody in my house really cares, but we had this larger conversation because my in-laws, they're big Florida fans. We're all college football fans. And we were saying how many people in the Big Ten were watching this, how many people in the Pac-12 were watching this going, oh goodness, maybe we pulled the plug too soon. It went off fine. We'll obviously see where it goes with the whole, when you have a huge lot of college football games coming up, when finally in the next couple of weeks, when things really start moving for the sport. But just Saturday night to just see it played, see the protocols in place, see the game actually play, see even afterwards, the players all gathered around, shook hands and left. I mean, it was not, they didn't like disappear into the corners as soon as the game was over. There was like a moment where they all came out to the field. It was great to see because, again, we're still – if even today, here it is. It's August 31st, and if you were to tell me where college football is right now, I don't know. I still don't know, right? I don't know if a conference can bail out of this at any moment. I'm not really sure. Marshall, for example, was having – they had a game scheduled with East Carolina – that was an important game. That's a very important game because if you go back 50 years, the Marshall football team was playing East Carolina, and then that plane crashed on its way back to Huntington 50 years ago in 1970. So they were going to use that game to sort of, it's the 50th anniversary of the plane crash, to honor the 75 people that died on that plane crash. They've canceled that game twice now because of COVID. It was scheduled and it was moved up, and then the moved up date was canceled too. I don't know what the schedules are going to look like as we move along in this you know, sort of environment. As I said at the top of the hour, my son checks into his dorm, he meets his roommate, you know, it's cool. But the next day, I kid you not, the next day, he's like, yeah, I'm hanging out with a whole bunch of people on the floor, a bunch of people over the weekend. He went with a bunch of other kids to a park. They went like tubing and stuff. College kids are being college kids as soon as they get to campus. We know there's going to be explosions. Yep. It's how these schools are going to deal with the explosions, right? It's if you are at a major university that is planning to play college football and you see a natural spike, it's inevitable that when you put 30,000 people together or 25 or 15 or 10, whatever your school holds, when you put them in an environment, you're going to get cases of this. You're going to get cases. Do you panic and cancel football, or do you wait it out? Do you let it calm down? That's what's going to happen. Now, these schools started off right off the bat. I mean, they're playing in week zero. Nobody played in week zero except these two schools. But as we progress in the college football season, as the weeks click on, how schools are going to be adjust? I mean, I don't know what was going on in East Carolina. I don't know how many cases they had. I don't know how it affected. Auburn just found out they had 16 players test positive on the football team. Now, that may be good because that might be the spike that they get. I don't know. Maybe next week it's 30. Maybe next week it's zero. I don't know. But watching Saturday night, I was like, man, they might pull this off. They might actually do this.
On top of it being the only football game that we've had in a long time, I mean, it's kind of funny. It's kind of weird because COVID gave us the opportunity to go, oh, my God, I can't believe we have football. But it's almost like it's right on schedule. It's It's like, this is where we were going to play anyways, guys.
Yeah.
And yet we were still just drawn to it because of, you know, the fear of no college football. But on top of all that, it was actually an entertaining game.
It was really good. I mean, it was.
That was the bizarre thing. I mean, you know, some of the play is sloppy, as you would expect from two lower-tiered schools, but.
It was nice at the end, like Austin Peay scores, yes. And then it was like a minute and a half left, and then Braylon Smith had a 10-yard touchdown to his wide receiver with 30 seconds remaining, and the Bears pull it out.
Yeah, that was, I mean, you're like, yay, okay.
Chalk it up to your only Central Arkansas, you know, game you'll watch for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know, unless pretty much, yeah. You know, unless they play like Houston or something.
Well, that or, you know, this continues.
Right.
Obviously, but they're the only two schools willing to jump out on a field.
It highlights something that, like, the NFL, for example, has never threatened to stop the season, right? So they have released right. their schedule. They have said it's starting on the 10th. It's Kansas City and Houston. It's at Arrowhead. You know, we've gotten different news about which stadiums, how many people will be allowed to go, if any are allowed to go. We've had news like that. But the NFL has never said, this is all up in the air. We don't know. We're not sure. You know, join us on the 10th and we'll see if we'll have an NFL game. They've never said that. They basically said it's all systems go. We're starting. College football has been different. You know, you hear reports of this conference is having a meeting. This conference is having a meeting. This school has to cancel. This school has this. So you're not 100% sure going into any week of college football what the schedule is going to look like even before the season starts. Now, the NFL and college football are going to do the exact same thing. If there's trouble on the horizon, games will just get postponed, right? If the Giants have 30 players infected with the virus, if they can't play Sunday, the NFL will have a contingency plan to figure out, okay, they can't play Sunday. College football is going to do the exact same thing. You know, Auburn may be fine, but Ole Miss may be in big trouble, so the game might get canceled, whatever. But it was, I think it's not just two teams that came together in Montgomery and played a college football game in week zero. You're right. That was a game that was on the schedule. It was supposed to happen that Saturday. But it was, for a lot of people, the reason why it was a huge audience, I think people wanted to see what it would look like. I think people were being told that there would be no season, and there was a season. It wasn't that it was just the only football game on. I think there was a lot more to that game. I think it was a statement that a lot of people wanted to see the sport make in a COVID world. And I think that's why you had everybody. It felt like, I mean, there was a few celebrities tweeting about the game. I mean, this is, again, if you're an Austin Peay football player or a Central Arkansas football player, you might have played in one of the most historic college football games in a while that's not based on anything on the field, but just based on on what we're going through socially.
It sounds so funny, but it's just wild, right.
I mean, think about it. If you are on either one of those teams, you've played in the first college football game in 2020 where a global pandemic is shutting sports down or restructuring sports in a way we're not familiar. I think it's pretty awesome if you're on those teams. I think I would wear it as a sense of a badge of honor.
You know what? I wouldn't even be upset if they just had a ring made out of it.
Right? first game out of the gate.
Did you ever have a college football ring? Yeah, look, first game.
First game of 2020.
Week zero.
Oh, and then the funny thing was the coaches wearing masks and then pulling them down and talking to the players.
Yeah.
Don't wear them. Just don't.
And then yet still covering their mouth with the clipboard.
Yeah, I know.
With the play sheet.
Still wild. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Did you watch Saturday? I mean, did you watch out of curiosity? Did you watch because of college football in general? You can answer that coming up on Twitter. But coming up next, we got to get to the golf. I never really break down a tournament, but I feel like this one really deserves some attention. What happened on Sunday at the BMW Championship. Plus, we got some breaking news. Former Georgetown coach John Thompson passed away at the age of 78. We'll talk more about his legacy coming up this show as well as we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Can't help but think of the long one he made in San Diego to pick up his first PGA Tour win. In style. Here it comes. Here it.
Watch out!
Comes!
Wow!
Is this all really happening?
What a putt.
That is from 66 feet.
That is, can you imagine if there was an actual crowd at the BMW Championship?
I'm going to give whoever was watching that credit.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was a good uproar, which is what we kind of missed. But, yeah, it would be
amplified. I mean, that would have gone nuts. It would have gone nuts. By the way, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, listen, we talk a lot about the majors, and when we come back on a Monday after the Masters or the U.S. Open, we'll break down the tournament. I never really do it for regular tournaments because, they're just regular tournaments. This one was so different. Now, this was the BMW Championship at Olympia Fields outside Chicago. Now, this golf course hosted a U.S. Open back in 2003. It was won by Jim Furyk. This golf course was really hard. Really, really hard. Tiger Woods finished 11 over for the tournament. I mean, this was like a U.S. Open. The conditions were difficult. Birdies were scarce. John Rahm was the leader in the clubhouse at 4 under par on Sunday. Now, if you were watching or paying attention to this tournament, on Saturday, he picked up his ball on the green without marking it. And when he picked it up, his caddy told him, "You didn't mark it." And that's a one-stroke penalty. He has to put it back down on the green as close to where he picked it up as possible. It's basically a one-stroke penalty because it's like, okay, you may not be accurate where you put it, but it's like you put it there, like you putted it there. So it's a one-stroke penalty. So naturally, he wanted to win this thing outright because he, didn't want to feel like I'm in this playoff or I lost the tournament because of the blunder I made on Saturday. So he gets in at 4 under par, and the only person that can catch him is Dustin Johnson. And Dustin Johnson, he hits his shot. He's got like a ball in the rough on 18. He's got an overhanging tree limb. He's got to kind of hit it to the right. He's got to go left to right with his shot. And he hits it okay. He doesn't hit it close, but he hits it enough. Dustin Johnson drains like a 30-footer to get into the playoff. So now you feel like there's some momentum for Dustin Johnson makes an incredible putt. It's double breaking down a hill, and it goes right into the hole. And he goes, all right, both guys are at 4 under. So they play the 18th hole again. And Johnson hits his shot, not close, but, 30 feet away. Rahm hits his way to the left. It's 70 feet away, 66 feet away. And not only is it 66 feet away, he's got to start it a couple of feet to the left of the hole, because what he's trying to do is he's trying to hit it so then it catches the slope that's going to the right. So he's got to make it so that there's enough speed to catch the slope, and then the ball will start trickling down to the right, funneling down to the cup. But there's another break that the green makes. So even if you're online, it's going to turn. He has to anticipate that turn as well. So he putts it, and it's just going, way to the left of the hole, but the slope is going to catch it. It catches it. It starts turning. Then it makes another turn, and it goes into the cup. He drains a 66-foot putt to win this tournament. Now, I wasn't watching a lot of the tournament, but thank God I had it on then. I loved it. It was, but there's no crowd. There's no electricity. It sounded like a good shot at a club championship where like the members are all like, oh, look at that. Jim and Bob are playing in the club championship. Let's just go out and catch them. I mean, that's what it was. There was no crowd at the BMW championship.
I wonder if he would have made it if there was a crowd.
I wonder. A friend of mine was over last night. We were talking. I said, listen, I've, these golfers, do you think he knew how to putt that? Or do you think he went, look, I got to get down in two. This best way I get down in two is I could see the slope. I know where it is. I'm going to aim in that direction. I know it'll trickle down. If I could get it within a couple of feet, I'm good. And then he just lucked out and made a putt.
Yeah. No, I'm certain they practice long distance putts, but I think you're absolutely right. I think they just say, you know what, let me just see how close I can get to the pin. And that's it.
A majority of the birdies that I make in my life, and I'll make a lot of them, but when I make them, are putts that have no business going at all. They just go in. Like, I just go, oh, okay, I'm 30 feet away. It looks like it's going left. All right, let me just putt it. And then I get lucky, right? I get lucky and lands in the cup. Like, this guy, I know he's like, I am trying to get this within a... So, if DJ two putts, we go to the next hole. I've got to two putt this thing, but I know I can read this green enough to know the slope. I know if I hit it that direction, it's going to catch and trickle down. But he could not have picked a. I mean, this thing, I mean, it had the perfect speed. I mean, it was funneling it just nice and easy. He didn't hit the flag stick and bounce in, it just went boop, 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 plop. Done. Birdie, win. World number one ranking heading into the tour championship. It's phenomenal. It was a phenomenal shot. So it was a tough course. Like I said, Tiger, you know, he's out of the tour championship. He won't be going to East Lake. A couple of other notables aren't going to East Lake either. They had one guy. I wish I could remember his name. Mackenzie Hughes, I think. I can't remember. But the broadcasters were really talking about him because he had a shot on 18 out of a bunker. And they said, if he gets up and down from the bunker for par, he gets to go to the tour championship. But if he misses, this other guy gets to go. So he hits it out of the bunker to like 6 feet, and he makes the 6-footer, and he's going to the tour championship. And they made this out to be a big deal. And I didn't think it was a big deal. I was like, well, he goes. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Then I looked at the money. I figured out the tour championship. It's 30 guys, and everybody that goes is guaranteed a huge payday. Everybody who goes to the tour championship, no matter where you finish, is getting a big check. So that was a lot of money that was riding on that guy's putt. It was a fun weekend. It was a fun Sunday evening watching golf. Good for John Rahm beating Dustin Johnson. Like I said, I never bring up tournaments, but I think it was one of the most incredible finishes I've seen in a golf tournament in a while. It was fantastic. 66-foot putt. I mean, it looked like it was going in from like 10 feet out. He had that thing red like a beast.
So, no, it was video game.
It was video game is right.
You know,
exactly.
where you had like the little flashing white arrow or the little arrow, the dots that let you know exactly how it is to get to the cup, and then you know, the little meter going up and down, so you hit it just right.
That's it right here on this line,
exactly,
and you'll make the video game putt.
And like, man. I said, I mean, I know they practice it, but. There's no way. I mean, his thought process had to be, I just want to get it close.
Yeah, right.
You know, let me two putt this hole. There's no shame in two putting from 66 feet out.
Shoot. He was probably looking at a 3-putt if he wasn't careful. Right? I mean, it was great. So the U.S. Open is coming up in a couple of weeks at Winged Foot. And John Rahm, as Jason Sobel at ESPN, he tweeted out last night. John Rahm has won at the Memorial and now this tournament. These are the two events where the rough has been hard, the fairways are a little narrow, the greens are fast, like very difficult conditions. That was at Jack's tournament and this tournament. And he is now one of the favorites going into the Open, which will be the exact same way. So it was some good golf yesterday. Really, really fun to watch that. And I wasn't really paying attention until yesterday when they said it was close. I was like, there's nothing else on. I'll watch that. And I'm glad I did. John Thompson passed away this morning at the age of 78, legendary Georgetown coach. If you grew up in the 80s, like I did, and loved Big East basketball, you know John Thompson and who's part of that Lou Carnesecca, Jim Boeheim, Jim Calhoun, I mean, this Raleigh Massimino, kind
that
of the legendary clubs. He was a lot more than just a coach and a collection of coaches. 6'10", Big John Thompson, first African-American head coach to win an NCAA national title, 1984, leading the Hoyas. He'll always be synonymous with Georgetown basketball for everything he's done and the players that he coached. Big John Thompson passing away at the age of 78 early this morning. It's Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, one of the big changes we're all dealing with is wearing a mask. Not all offer the same comfort and protection. Boomer Naturals three-layer comfortable and highly breathable masks are what I use. And over the week when I went at the University of Florida, it was blazing hot. It was like the temperature of the surface of the sun. And I was so thankful I had my Boomer Naturals breathable mask because it was breathable. It was very comfortable. And they give you that highly protective nano-silver technology that's woven into the fabric and block those tiny drops and particles from getting to your nose and mouth. That's what we want right now, the best protection and also comfortability and breathable mask, and that's Boomer Naturals. They also offer those popular nano-silver neck gaiters, so order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use the promo code Tony. Save 20%! That's promo code Tony at BoomerNaturals.com. Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com. And another great thing, Boomer donates one face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities, helping tens of thousands of Americans in need. And I love that. BoomerNaturals.com. So if you're just joining us, the news this morning, John Thompson, legendary Georgetown basketball coach, passing away at the age of 78 today. He was just a couple of days shy of his 79th birthday. I can't begin to tell you, as far as college basketball goes, how legendary John Thompson is. From not only the things that he stood for, his willingness to stand for a cause, whether you believed it or not, his willingness to speak out on things that he absolutely disagreed with. He walked off the court against Proposition 48 and handed the reins over to an assistant one time. There was a report that he confronted a drug lord who was dealing with some of his players, pointing at him right in the eye. A killer. I mean, he pointed him right at the eye, stay away from my players, stay away from my guys. He had an intimidating presence, but he was so important to Big East basketball at a time where Big East was exploding. As I was saying, it's one of the more important college basketball stories was the creation of the Big East, its influence on college basketball, how it permeated the whole country because of ESPN Big Monday. You would get these guys on TV. Jim Boeheim talked about it all the time, about how that explosion allowed him to recruit in so many areas and so many places because he was nationally known everywhere he went, that he was getting the kind of recognition because they were on TV all the time and they had great players. And the list of players that went to Georgetown, from Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, Allen Iverson, Dikembe Mutombo, I mean, the guys who played for John Thompson. He was part of the Olympic, coaching the Olympic team. But again, he stood for things. He was willing to make his points known. He was willing to speak out on issues that he just absolutely wanted to stand behind or fight against. And again, whether you agree or disagree with him, he was really vocal and was willing to put his money where his mouth is. He was willing to say, I'll walk off the court or I'll protest things that I think are not right in the sport of college basketball. He became a broadcaster after he retired. His son, John Thompson Jr., was a coach at not only Princeton, but Georgetown as well. Patrick Ewing is now the head coach there. But John Thompson passing away this morning at the age of 78. Big East basketball to me was a huge deal. I mean, I was a young kid when the Big East was on TV a lot, and I loved all of those coaches and players. I had a French teacher, and she loved college basketball too. And I remember it was like we could talk about college basketball. She liked Lou Carnesecca and St. John's. I was a big Syracuse guy, but it was one of those kind of cool things because Big East basketball was so big. I mean, if you go to 85, the Final Four, we all remember Villanova beating Georgetown and what an amazing upset that was. But Raleigh Massimino and Villanova had played Georgetown pretty close during the regular season, but that was a Final Four that included, obviously, Villanova and Georgetown, but St. John's was in that Final Four, too. That was three Big East teams in 85 in Lexington, Kentucky, that were in the Final Four. The other team was Memphis State, later Memphis, that was in that Final Four. But John Thompson was a huge part of that, a huge part of the rivalry with Syracuse, huge part of the memorable moments, memorable battles with not only Orange, but again with Villanova and St. John's and UConn and all of those teams. So a very sad day to John Thompson passing away at the age of 78. NBA playoffs, the Dallas Mavericks eliminated yesterday. So Luka Doncic and the Mavericks are heading home out of the bubble, but they're not leaving away empty-handed. They got the parting gift as they leave the bubble. They are getting the home game, the NBA bubble home game, and also they're getting labeled, and this was pretty quick, as the future NBA champions of this league. People were so impressed with Luka Doncic and Dallas, and knowing Kristaps Porzingis didn't play enough in this series, if they can just get help, if they can just get the right people around these two guys, they are the next NBA champions. They're young. They've got a superstar talent. Everyone was impressed with him. Everyone was impressed with the way he played. He got hacked by Marcus Morris and still was able to play pretty well. Had that game to six before the Clippers were able to pull away. But Dallas is leaving the NBA bubble as one of the favorites to watch out for down the road. As loaded as the West is, and as when we are done with COVID and we go back to the regular playoffs, how teams are going to try to go off of what they've had this year and try to build on what they've got. Dallas is emerging as one of the teams that is going to be a favorite to win a championship, if not next year, but definitely a year down the road, because Luka's that good. It's like, you know, Denver. Denver's been fighting this whole idea. You know, they're a good basketball team. They've extended their series with Utah to a game 7 on Tuesday night. Jamal Murray at 50 points as Denver has rallied back in the series against the Jazz. But it is now, I mean, for a long time, the Nuggets were a team where it's Nikola Jokic and a lot of good players around him, but not anybody great. And that might have changed with what has been going on in this bubble. Will that continue for them down the road? I have no idea. But I know Luka Doncic for the Mavericks is a superstar. He's on a level of a superstar. I used to ask this about Jokic all the time. Whenever I talk to NBA guys, they're like, look, if you follow the NBA, you know he's a star. You know he's a superstar. But We talk about superstars differently. It's not just an insider superstar. It has to transcend just the people that know and follow the sport. He has to go larger. And I'm wondering if Luka Doncic has now emerged that way because of the bubble. You know, because people were, you know, they were paying attention to what was going on. We're seeing him score. You know, when an NBA game is on inside the bubble, I know the ratings are down and whatnot, but you get to focus all your attention on that. It's not bleeding into another game or whatever. They're not trying to cram it in. It's you have the spotlight. So you get that kind of attention and you get that kind of notoriety. And I wonder if Luka Doncic has now elevated himself into that superstar level that's just beyond the people in the know, that goes beyond, you know, the casual fan now knows that Dallas could be a threat down the road. The Boston Celtics crushed Toronto yesterday, crushed them in game one of their East semifinals. If you hadn't been paying attention to what was going on in the NBA, I don't know, like you were in a coma or you just weren't watching or you just weren't following the news, you would assume that that's exactly the team, Toronto, that's exactly how they play without Kawhi Leonard. Since losing Kawhi Leonard, that must be the way they play. The Celtics were that good against them. Never trailed in the game, cruised on through, never had a threat from the Raptors. Nick Nurse even said, we were out of it. We were out of rhythm. We were out of sync. That's not the Raptors. The Raptors are a pretty good defensive team. The Raptors have gotten a lot of great play from Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam. I mean, they've gotten some Kyle Lowry, of course. That's not the Raptors. But you would have just assumed that if you were just kind of a casual fan going, well, yeah, of course, they lost Kawhi Leonard, didn't they? Didn't he leave for Los Angeles? Well, that's natural. But that was not the right performance for the Raptors. But it looked easy for Boston in game one. So those were the three games yesterday in the NBA bubble. Rockets and Thunder have game six tonight with Houston leading 3-2. They won game 5 by a million on Saturday as the Thunder shot like 32% from the floor. Michael on Twitter, John Thompson was the perfect coach for the perfect team at the perfect time for that conference. Was large, brass, intimidating, just like his team. As a UConn fan, I respected him tremendously. That is well said. Large, brass, and intimidating. That was John Thompson. He could really intimidate you. I know a lot of media guys who talked to older media guys who covered those teams, a lot of those, you know, Big East back in the day. And, man, they all said the same thing, man. Thompson in those press conferences, man, you better ask that question the right way because he was very intimidating. But his team was, too. I mean, his team was – playing Georgetown was a scary, scary – you know, especially with Patrick Ewing back in the mid-'80s. That was a scary team. And that's why – I think that's why the 85 finals, the championship game – it's one of my favorite sports stories. Forget college basketball stories. It's one of my favorite stories about a Villanova team that nearly had to, had to be nearly perfect to just beat them by a handful of points. I mean, if you take the box score and the shooting and what Villanova did in that game, and you put it against any other opponent, you end up with like a UNLV Duke kind of blowout. I mean, that's basically what you end up with, right? I mean, you get like a 30-point win. They barely beat Georgetown in 85 in Lexington, and they needed to be perfect to do that. And I think it's an underdog story. But again, when you're talking about conference, you know, not rivals per se, but yeah, they played them in the conference and played them pretty good that year. But Georgetown was so heavily favored to repeat in 1985 with all of the talent that they had. But also remember too, one of my images of John Thompson that. You know, being a guy that just likes the history of sports and likes certain moments in sports, you go back to 1982 when Michael Jordan in North Carolina beat Georgetown to win the championship. And it was, you know, James Worthy getting the pass from Fred Brown when Fred Brown mistakenly threw the pass to him and Worthy caught it. And there's John Thompson consoling his player, just consoling him. I mean, just he knows that there's a bigger world than just basketball, and he's got to get this kid in the right mindset. He's got to get this kid to not feel like he's destroyed his life for throwing this ball away. Steve Fisher had to do the exact same thing with Chris Webber, right? And Webber, you know, I mean, Webber was walking off the court. He calls a timeout. He knows he's made this huge mistake, and you have to pull yourself as a coach out of that moment, out of that. We blew a championship. We did not win a championship because of this mistake. I have to pull myself away from that, and I have to go be some sort of influential figure in this guy's life that's other than a coach to console this player that's made this huge mistake on the grandest stage because it could affect him for the rest of his life, and I don't want that to happen, and that's Thompson. Thompson had to do that to Fred Brown. As you know, other coaches have done that too, but you're right. Michael, intimidating, large brass. And again, if you're just joining us, the breaking news this morning is that John Thompson passed away at the age of 78. All right, we'll continue along as we continue on Sports Map Radio. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Some NFL news. We got Eric at home coming up next hour. The NFL starting in like, less than 2 weeks. What, 10 days? Is that where we're at now? Because it's almost September 1st and it starts on the 10th. It's about 10 days. We have the Chiefs and the Texans at Arrowhead. But we got a trade yesterday, Jacksonville sending Yannick Ngakoue to the Minnesota Vikings. Because of course they did. As we continue along with Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Hey, I'm going to tell you about BetUS. Football, basketball, baseball, all back. It means it's time to get down your bets. BetUS is the best because of the pioneer in online betting with more than 25 years in the biz. And you need a sports book that's got integrity, longevity, and you need to know you're going to get paid. You need a sports book that offers everything, live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy proposition bets. Call 1-800-MY-BET-US. It's 1-800-MY-BET-US. They'll walk you through getting started. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. Join now. Mention Sports Map Radio. You can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. 25 years in the biz. Call them at 1-800-MY-BET-US or go to BetUS.com. Remember, mention Sports Map Radio to get that bonus, and it's a good one. 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. We continue to talk about the breaking news this morning, John Thompson passing away, and I had mentioned earlier the 1982 NCAA Finals where Fred Brown threw the ball to James Worthy, and that basically cost them the game, although Worthy missed some free throws, and there was a last-second shot that missed. But nevertheless, and Thompson went to console Freddie Brown, but kind of forgotten in that was that North Carolina, who had been waiting forever and ever to win a championship, right? Dean Smith, who had waited forever to win a championship, finally gets this championship. And what's the first thing Dean Smith does is he does not celebrate with his team. They're celebrating. He does not. He goes to console John Thompson, who was consoling Freddie Brown. Smith helped Thompson get the job at Georgetown and was, you know, instrumental in his coaching career. It's just one of those moments that do you think if you were a coach that had, you know, you live and die with, you know, you're surrounded by wins and losses and people who are always talking about the importance of winning. You know, it's important to win, but can you remove yourself? Do you think you'd have the ability to remove yourself from either a celebration or a massive disappointment to do what those two gentlemen did on that night in Louisiana in 1982? Thompson separating the feeling of we had a shot at this and we gave it away, to realize that there were bigger things and to go console his player, or Smith realizing he had finally got to the mountaintop and he was winning a championship and his team was celebrating and realizing, no, I'm going to a guy I respect and love in John Thompson. He's dealing with something. He's dealing with a player who's dealing with something, and I'm going to go console him as well. It's really a kind of a unique moment. I mean, Thompson even said it one time. He said, I would have been like Jim Valvano. I would have ran around like crazy, you know, years later. But rest in peace, Big John. Big John Thompson passing away at the age of 78. All right, some NFL. Jacksonville sending Yannick Ngakoue to Minnesota. Are we really that surprised? No, because there's a huge list. We'll get to it in hour two as we continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.